Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
From the newsroom to the nursery,
we're juggling a demanding career on live TV with the demands of motherhood.
I'm Katie.
And I'm Karen.
They are anchor moms.
Hello.
I think we need to start this podcast out by saying that Karen had, she was like, I'll start. And then she had the weirdest hello. Like, and then she looked at me and was like, nope. And like, you know, deleted it. But I mean, I wish you could, I was great. I wish the folks at home could have heard it.
It was we're recording this on a Monday morning after daylight savings. Oh. Hello. Like, was that even the right word? Wait, I don't even know.
I don't know what we were going to supposed to talk about, but I do want to say this. Like, I thought we were getting rid of daylight savings. Like, when is that over? It's literally destroying my life. As someone who, like, gets up in the middle of the night, who has, like, a kid in kindergarten, like my life is already hard enough. Yeah. Let's get rid of this.
Yeah, we really need to. But I don't think it's going to happen. There must be some financial like reason that like there must be people who benefit from this and they're like protesting it,
or is
right?
it just because like change is hard and people are like we'll get around to that like after we get along to like get around after like the midterms, the budget, like, you know, the
climate
crisis
change
at the border and climate change. Like, I think that's what it is people are like, that's just too big of an issue to tackle like right now.
But do you know what comes after springing forward?
Falling back? I don't know. What?
No.
What?
Well, in the meantime, in the more near future, spring break.
Yes.
Which.
It's on the horizon, my friends.
It is. Which made me realize that, guess what time it is?
Easter time? Springtime? Mm-hmm.
Time to buy bathing suits again.
Oh. I love our yearly. Is this our yearly bathing suit conversation? Is that what's about to happen?
Yes.
Surprise.
Okay.
Yes. Love it.
Everything you never, you didn't know you needed to know about bathing suits.
So
listen.
Okay.
So,
yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So if you've been a longtime listener, you might remember that we've had this conversation before. There was one year that I was really.
What?
Judged because I was just confirming that I'm not supposed to buy a skirt suit. And it was like I said something terribly evil. Anyway, so we know that skirts are not appropriate. But here's the question that I texted to one of my girlfriend groups. I said, okay, what are we doing for swimsuits this year, ladies? What about this, what is it called? Somersault.
Yeah.
How are we feeling about
this? I like
somersault. Is this still in? What do we do here? And so I got, of this group of particular friends, I got maybe a half and half. Some loved somersault, some didn't. But then, of course, the links started flowing in of, like, the swimsuits that they think are great. A lot of people suggested the Cupshe.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Which I discovered you can get from Target.
Okay.
Here's my big thing, to be honest. You know me, I don't want to spend a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
And I also don't want to have a difficult return situation if it doesn't work. So anything that's like an Amazon or a Target or like a free return, easy return situation is what I'm going for.
Mm-hmm.
I was interested in the somersault, but I will be honest, it's like $95.
Which for like a one
like,
piece? Or yeah, for like, what
for
are we talking
one
about?
Piece, yeah. Which felt like a lot to me. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm very cheap. So I'm still looking around, but I just thought I would consult our resident anchor mom's trendy fashionista here.
I don't. Can I get back to you on this? Because I'm still.
Are we still doing one pieces or the two piece with the high number on the bottom?
I'm doing both.
Okay.
I'm doing both. I think. What have I seen in my Instagram feed a bunch of? I've seen a lot of crinkle bathing suits. Do you know what that is? Do you know what I'm talking about when I say this?
Like ruching?
No, it's like the material. Hold on. I'm going to Google it here.
Okay.
Yeah, but I need to, like, you should have prepared me for this.
Oh, okay.
Because, like, in my head, these weeks have been crazy for me, and I am, like, it's on my radar. Mm-hmm. Like, I know it needs to happen. Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. my annual, like, what are we doing for bathing suits this year conversation, purchase. But I just, I'm not.
You haven't done the appropriate amount of research. I haven't.
Hold on. Okay. Here's a crinkle. Here's a crinkle.
Crinkles, I feel like.
Oh, a cup. She has one.
See?
It's the material. It's the material. Okay. So, yeah, this might be a whole thing. I like it. It comes in, like, good colors. Okay, I don't know. Is Cupshe affordable? I'm also very curious about that.
I feel like they are.
Yeah. So it's like that. It's the material. You see what I'm saying?
Oh, yes. Yeah. You'll know it, listeners. It's like that ribbed, almost, I would mm-hmm, say. Is that mm-hmm. the appropriate
yeah.
term? And I also feel like these, the one you just showed me made me realize, like, the more sports bra-esque tops, I feel like, are in.
Maybe. I don't know. I need a little more support. Like, those never really work yeah. for me. You know, I like them. I like the look of them. But then I put them on and I'm less pleased. I will say this. I do remember last year I did accidentally get a bathing suit with a skirt on it.
You did? Yes, I remember.
And that was like some big
drama.
Big drama. That mm-hmm. was big drama. So
it's basically like the one thing I have over you is I've never bought a swimsuit with a skirt and you kind of have.
Okay.
That's so like basically.
Okay. I mean, I was very vulnerable and admitted that to you and here you are like throwing it in my
yep.
face. Okay. So I just
yep.
did like a quick like little Google search.
Okay.
This might be good for you or for all of us really. Black. Is a whole
oh,
look
love
for
a black.
Swimwear.
I love yes. a black swimsuit. Yeah.
All right. Mm-hmm. So metallic fabrics and bright colors like fuchsia, royal blue, and
I feel
lime
like you have
green.
A really cute fuchsia one.
I mean, you know me. Like, the brighter, the better.
Yeah, yeah.
That's how I feel about, like, basically all clothing articles in my life.
Well, listen, so this is part one. This is the teaser for our swimsuit mm-hmm. Big reveal. And then we will have a follow-up conversation down the road where Katie brings us all her suggestions
I mean,
and advice
I
for
really,
what we should wear.
I really just like to hear your questions, Karen. I mean, I just like to see, like,
look,
what's kind of
– Do you remember when we were at your 40th last year
yes.
on the beach?
Yes.
And I was like, wait a minute. Everyone has a thong on. What is happening?
Oh, not us, though. Like,
no,
not the
I'm
people
sorry.
We were with.
No, I'm sorry. All the people that were around us.
Yeah.
And remember there was that one girl that had, like, it was like a thong on the top and the bottom. I don't even know how it, like, possibly was, like, legal or whatever. I was just like, I can't even,
yeah.
I don't know what's going on here.
I don't know.
There was
that.
Just some craziness going on. So I'm wondering if we're moving away from, like, you know, the whole butt needs
oh.
to be out. Or can we
cheeky look or something.
No, I want to go back to, like, the
full coverage.
I want to go back to the Little House on the Prairie days. Let's full suit, maybe some sleeves, maybe some shorties. I don't know. Like, can we do more instead of less?
I think we can do whatever you want. Are we doing the neighborhood pool this summer? We haven't even talked about this.
Oh, yeah. I have it on my calendar. The registration opens on April 1st.
Okay.
It's already on my calendar.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Well, I'm looking forward to seeing your full body bathing suit at the neighborhood
pool. This makes me sound like, should I just get like a wetsuit? Just like call it
Might
done?
As well. I think that's good.
Like a rash guard?
I think that's good. Yeah. I think rash guards are cute, though. That's, you know, depends on what direction. Let me do some research
and
get back to you.
We'll
I'll send you like a whole PowerPoint presentation on like what you should purchase this
okay.
year.
All okay. right. Stay tuned.
Okay.
All right. The first article today is from Forbes. This is shocking / fascinating to me. Breaking down the 525,000 millennial dream income. Okay. Listen, guys, this blew my mind. So there was this study done last year, people asking millennials how much they needed to be happy. Their answer, 525. I mean,
that's what they wanted. They thought their income needed to be for them
right,
to be
an
happy.
Individual income. That is over $500,000.
Thank you for like, oh, really? That's oh.
Well, I'm just laying it out here, folks.
Thanks
that's
for breaking
a lot of money.
That down for us, Karen.
listen, so this is where it gets real crazy, which is. Okay, Gen Z, Gen X, and boomers, right? The uh-huh. other three generations surrounding millennials, guess what they said? 130.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that's
a lot? How
do you
go from 130 to 525?
Yeah.
What is wrong with millennials? Why do they think they need that much money? Anyway, so the article, that was a rhetorical question. The article, I'm like jazzed up about this. The article goes on to say that less than 1%, less than 1% of people in the U.S. actually make $500,000 a year, by the way. So, this is like very unattainable and like ridiculous.
Yeah. Okay. Keep going.
So then it goes through and it kind of does a breakdown, which it was interesting. You know, what your typical housing costs are, student loans, childcare, savings, yada, yada, yada. And it went through and basically proved the point that this is incredibly insane, folks. Like, if you were making this, even one of you, much less both of you in your household, even if one of you were making this, I mean, it would, it's ridiculous how much extra money. You would have like $33,000 extra a month or something, like, just for funsies. Like, this is crazy. We don't need to make this much money. Calm down. I mean, if the average...
What is the average? Did you say the average? It's like one...
Oh, of what people should make?
Yes.
Oh, I don't know. I didn't write that down. But, yes, I did. Yes, I did. The national median income is 81.
Right.
So 525 is, you know, six times that.
Correct.
I mean... What are millennials thinking?
You know, I found this to be really interesting in just that, like, this article, or perhaps millennials, that they tied salary in with happiness.
Also a good point, Katie. Yeah. Good point. Good point.
Karen is really fired up about this article.
It's just mind-boggling to me that people think that they need to make $500,000 each to be happy.
And also, I think, you know... I think that is even a subjective term, right? Like, does it mean, is happiness mean you can afford all your bills and go on fancy vacations? Does happiness mean like you can afford to send your kid to private school, afford college and pay your medical bills? Like, it's just such a like subjective benchmark, you know?
Right, right, right. And I,
I don't know. Why are always people – everyone's always ragging on millennials. Like, I love how, like, everybody's always, like, these stupid millennials.
Well, this is another reason to rag on them.
I know, but I just wonder, like
what are millennials thinking? Why do you – let me just say this real quick.
Karen, who's a millennial who denies being a millennial.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't think this is inappropriate to say on this podcast. I do not make $525,000 a year. I do not. If anybody listening thinks that news people make a lot of money – We don't. But we certainly, at least I, certainly do not make $500,000 a year. And guess what else?
What?
You're happy. I'm happy.
Yeah.
I mean, would I like to make a bit more? Sure. Everyone would. But 520, no one should be making that. I'm sorry. Like, what? What? What are millennials thinking? I just don't get it.
Yeah, you know, what if it's just they don't really understand numbers and millennials? I mean, seriously.
Just dumb.
Well, or just that, like, and this article kind of touches on this a little bit, like, millennials have the most student loans out of all of those Gen Z, Gen X, and the boomers. They kind of came in of an age when it's very difficult to afford housing. And I think we've done stories on this before that this is the first generation that's actually worse off. Mm-hmm. Than the previous generation.
So they think they need to overcompensate.
Yeah,
and make,
so
like,
what if it's just like they don't really understand, like, you know, five, like they're just throwing out a number because they're like, everything is so expensive and I'm like, I'm living in this world.
But it's interesting to me that the other younger generations are like, oh no, we only need 130. Like, we're not crazy.
Yeah,
like, why did it come back down? You know what I'm saying?
Right, so... tell me, Gen Z is like the younger generation. Is that right?
No.
Gen X is the younger generation. Mm-hmm. And Gen Z is
so
like...
Boomers, Gen Z, millennial,
okay.
Gen
X. So like Gen Z is like...
Like if Gen X also was like, oh yeah, we also need $500,000, then that would kind of just track more for me.
Yeah.
Like, okay, us older folks know we don't need that much, these young people. But the fact that Gen X is realizing that, no, we don't need that much money.
I mean, and I'm just going to say this, like, these, like, the boomers, like, I don't really believe, I think the boomers have had a pretty good, like, existence. Have you ever, like, I feel like we've done stories about how, like, who's buying these, like, super expensive big houses, by the way? It's boomers. So I'm not saying that,
Well, because they lived in, well, yeah. I mean.
Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So maybe it's because, and I'm standing up for the millennials out there.
Okay. Okay.
Maybe it's because, like, if you're a millennial, things have not always gone your way. Like, you were even coming up on, like, the pandemic in 2020, where, like, people had this, like, sort of existential crisis. Like, I think if you're a millennial, and I stand by this, like, you were sort of taught to, like, work your A off and, like, mm-hmm. you're going to make mm-hmm. a bunch of money and, like, life's going to be great. And then, like, social media happened and the pandemic happened and housing prices soared and, like, you know, the divisiveness of politics mm-hmm. kind of all came about, like, right when you were at that age where you mm-hmm. thought you'd be, like, buying your
doing
own
good.
House and
yeah.
doing well. So I don't know. I just – people are critical of millennials, but I think sometimes it's sort of – and, of course, this is a very millennial thing to say. People would argue, like, millennials feel like victims. Like, I'm totally feeding into the millennial mm-hmm. stereotype right now, but I don't care. I stand by it. I think it's true.
Okay. Well, so do you feel like you need $500,000 to
no,
be happy?
No, I don't. I don't – because I don't know that I put, like, a price tag on. I'm not, like, mm-hmm. if I made this amount of money, like, I would finally yeah. be happy. I don't believe that. But so are you one of those people who's, like, who say – what's that saying? It's, like, money can't buy you happiness. Do you think that's true?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Now, I do think that you have a lot greater chance at being happy
yes.
if you are at least financially stable.
Precisely. Like,
yeah.
I'm like, you know, money can't buy you happiness, but it sure helps. That's what I think. Sorry.
Well, I wonder if this article had been called Breaking Down the 525,000 Millennial Dream Income, What It Takes to Be Happy. You know, like, if they'd taken happy out of it.
Yeah.
Like, just, like, millennials think you need 525 to survive.
Right. That would be different, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway.
That would be different for you. You would be less.
Yeah, but I still think it's just, it's, I mean, if somebody asked me how much I need to survive, I would say what we make, because we're apparently surviving. We're doing
yeah.
okay. I mean, we're not.
Well, because you're surviving.
We're surviving. Yeah. But it's, you know, a half a million just seems ludicrous.
Yeah.
I don't
yeah.
know. I don't
yeah.
know. Okay. I have a mom's.
Okay.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
That is a podcast.
Okay, okay.
It is nothing like the Anchor Bombs podcast, which
nothing.
You know, is your favorite, you listeners out there. But this is a true crime-ish.
Okay.
We should also back up and say this mom segment is something that we think we have found that we think is worthy of sharing, is something that we think you would enjoy. It's called The Kids of Rutherford County. Have you heard of
yes,
this?
Yes, I have. This
Did
is the New York Times
it?
One.
Mm-hmm,
remind me.
Mm-hmm.
I have listened to it and I do think it's good. And somebody else recommended it to me. Yes. Yes.
So it's short is the only thing. I was kind of like, actually, you know, when you're like really into a podcast
yeah.
and then they're like, this is the final episode. And you're like, oh, darn, really? Like
yeah.
I wanted more. But I think one of the reasons it interests me, I used to work in the Chattanooga, Tennessee market, which included Rutherford County. So I'm kind of familiar with this area. But it's an unbelievable story in my head, in my view, about the judicial system there. And they kind of, it came out that they were jailing children, like 7-year-olds, like my kids' age, kids at an extremely alarming rate. And so once this information came out, who was behind it? Why were they doing it? What happened? Did it get fixed? It's just, I think, very interesting. And it's one of those where, you know, I always like a podcast where it's a true thing and you're listening and you're like, wow, I cannot believe this actually
mm-hmm.
happened.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I like it, too.
So,
I think it's worth a listen as well.
And it's a pretty, like, low commitment because it's literally 4 episodes.
Right. Just right so. After you listen to Anchor Moms, you can just, like, skip on over and listen
yeah.
to that one.
Anchor
right.
Moms, where we're talking about, you know.
Millennials.
Millennials and then to kids being
bathing
jailed.
On, we got, it's like yeah. a little bit of everything.
You never
it's
know
like
what
a
you're going to get here,
board.
Folks.
Yeah.
Never know.
All right. Our second article today comes from Scary Mommy. And it's fine if you find your children annoying sometimes. Believe me, even parents get super fed up with kids now and then. But there are some adults who just go out of their way to make hating kids part of their personality. And that sucks a lot. You know the type. They make loud comments about kids just existing in public spaces, complain about perfectly reasonable kid behavior, and go out of their way to discourage kids at events. And apparently, it's this stand-up comedian who started, she kind of did a set on this, and she doesn't even have kids, by the way. And she says, I'm not talking about people who just don't want to have kids or don't want to babysit their, you know, badly behaved nephews or don't like it when there's a baby crying on a plane. That's all totally normal. I'm talking about people who say stuff like, I hate all children. Even the sight of me fills, even the sight fills me with contempt. Those annoying little, a word I can't say, they shouldn't be in public spaces until the age of 12.
I mean, sorry. Like what they're just supposed to hide until 12?
I know. This is, there are people out there, by the way.
I do think that this is true, yeah.
The comedian who does this skit is Kiara Sullivan. I follow her on Instagram. She's pretty funny. Yeah, I think this article brings up a good point, too. Like, kids have the right to exist because guess what? They're humans as well.
Yeah.
And you were a kid once as well.
And also, if we stopped having children, sorry, the world would end as we know it. I mean, you could live the rest of your existence without kids, I guess, but then, like, the human race would no longer exist.
And so some of the comments people say, like, also complaints like kids say the rudest, most invasive things because they're literally learning these social norms right now. We've had to have a conversation with River, who will, you know, is 5 and a half and will say just, like, basically anything that comes to her mind. She doesn't mean to be cruel or rude or whatever to people, but she says it and then, you know, it hurts people's feelings. And it's like, girl, like, you, like, you know, but she just doesn't have a filter yet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she just doesn't have a filter yet.
It did say in here that kids can have the most interesting conversations.
Yes.
And that's the best part of parenting. And I agree. I mean, you know, we know how to talk about boring things, adult things, but sometimes it's fun to hear what a kid has to say and go along with them in their imagination and what questions they have and what they're thinking about.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting. It makes life fun.
Yeah. So I don't know. Are there a lot of people out there who literally hate kids? Oh, really?
I think, I mean, I don't know about a lot, but I definitely think that it happens.
Well, that's their problem, not the kids' problem.
I just,
our problem.
For those people, I want to be like, what do you think is the alternative here? You know?
I guess I was thinking that there weren't that many people out there like this. And you're kind of, maybe you're right.
I don't know. Maybe there's not, but
do you encounter these people?
You know.
You feel their looks?
Disdain? I feel like I've not had someone come up to me like, I hate your children.
Right.
Take them away. That would be terrible. But I definitely feel like I get that vibe from people.
Mm-hmm.
And I definitely, I mean, articles like this and like just things you see on social media and articles we've talked about on this podcast, I do think there's a contingency of folks who are not general kids fans.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't know. Okay. Our last article is from the Business Insider. I broke the traditional parenting rules and let my kids have unlimited screen time.
What?
They still turned out great.
I like this article.
This is so
refreshing.
Yes. It
makes you feel
so
good.
So this mom says, when her kids were little, she read all the books. She wanted to follow all the rules. She did all the things. And you know what? Then she started realizing pretty early on that those don't always work.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, you have to do what works for your family. So, for instance, she co-slept with her kids.
Mm-hmm.
And she said it was the only way to get a full night's rest. And she was like, that was the first thing that she did that was, like, you're not supposed to do. She did it and was like, oh, huh, it's working for us.
Mm-hmm.
I can sleep now. Apparently you can break rules and it's okay.
Yeah.
So then she, as they got older, decided not to limit screen time. She says, as long as they still exercised, socialized, behaved, and got good grades, they could have as much screen time as they wanted.
Yeah.
Unlimited. She said by the age of 3, her kids were playing video games and watching cartoons before they could even walk, some of them. And she realized as they got older that the screen was not the enemy and that you can have both in her mind. Your kids can have screen time, but also be normal functioning, wonderful children.
Yeah, I'm kind of here for this. It's so hard. We sort of go through different phases. River has an iPad, which, you know, she quite enjoys. And we don't have like a, like, you're only allowed an hour of screen time kind of thing. But like after River's been on in a while, I'll be like, your brain is melting. You have to go do something else. And usually she's pretty good about it. And, you know, when I feel bad about it, I'll like watch her use her iPad, or she likes to look at pictures on my phone. And so sometimes she'll like look at my Instagram. And sometimes I'm like shocked at how she knows how to like swipe here, do this, do that. And I'm like, what? And then I think, you know, this is, I hate to say this, for better or worse, this is like the future of like school and jobs and employment and college. Like everybody uses iPads and phones and technology. So maybe should I not only not be horrified, but like please that River has like figured out a way to navigate all of these devices. Now, I will say this. Kids playing video games by the age of 3 and watching cartoons before they could walk. I felt a little like I didn't love that idea for this person writing this. Like that felt a little like weird to me.
I maybe shouldn't admit this then, but I mean, Sam watches TV.
No, I don't mean I don't mean like you. Yes. Like, so does, I'm sure. Right. Like, I think all kids do. I just meant like, I think it's a little weird to think about like kids, like, playing video games by the age of 3, or like doing a lot of that. Like, right, I don't know. That feels a little, that feels a little much for me, but maybe not. I don't know. Cause now, like I said, River at this point is going to be 6 here soon. And like, maybe I would feel differently now, you know, that she, you know, if I had like a younger kid.
When, you know, and I think one of the things that this mom is saying, she's using obviously the screen time as an example, but she's just saying like, look, we can like, think about, like, these rules are not set in stone, right? And I remember this was years ago. I think we may have only had 2 kids, or maybe we just had Bennett. And I was having a conversation with somebody at work and was like, on the weekends, it's just really hard because they wake up so early still. We're so exhausted. You know, we were still kind of in, I think Bennett was really little. And so we were still, you know, sleep deprived. And this other mom said, well, why don't you just turn the TV on?
Yeah.
And you guys stay sleeping. Like, as long as they're like safe and they're not going to like do anything to hurt themselves, like that's fine. And it was like, I had not even considered that until another mom like gave me that permission and was like, oh yeah, you can just put them in. She's like, don't you remember doing that when you were a kid? And then it took that for me to be like, wait a minute. Yes. On Saturday mornings, we woke up and like, made our own cereal and sat there and ate cartoons until mom and dad came out and said, like, okay, now it's time to get going.
So I did write that, like, I've had conversations with my sister and, you know, we did not, like, you know, obviously there was no phones or iPads, but we obviously had a TV. And, like, my mom, like, never regulated it. Like, literally my mom, like, out of the stuff that we watch, like, sometimes I'm like, I don't, like, what, like, you know. But, like, there was no, like, it's summer break and you can only watch this amount. Like, and so as a result, the TV didn't feel like this like special thing that you had to fight for, because it was literally like, it's just TV. Like, no big deal. Like, if you want to watch it, watch it. If you don't want to watch it, don't watch it. Like, nobody cares. And honestly, I kind of think that was like probably a good thing. Now we have so much hyper focus on screen time, screen time, screen time, that it's almost like kids know that like,
this is a thing.
This is a thing. This is like a big deal. So if like it's a big deal, I should, if we're limiting it, I should want more of it. It's kind of the same way with like sweets, right?
Right, right.
But yeah, I just don't, I don't get super, like, now sometimes there will be like an occasional like afternoon where I'm like, okay, River, like you've been sitting there for an awful long time. Like go play, go draw. But most of the time I'm like, whatever. I'm just not, we're that worried about it. I hope that doesn't come to like,
no, I think you're right. And I think, yeah, I mean, I think it is like, it's just a different world.
Yeah.
You know, and I think for us, because I would say the same thing. I don't ever remember my parents saying, you've watched enough TV for the day, you know. But then I think about a generation before that. I mean, they never had TV, or, you know, they had like the one show they could watch at 6 p.m., whatever weirdness was going on there. So it's just every, you know, there's just a different standard, I guess. And I do think now we are, we are just so, and I do think it's different when there are different screens, there's different options, and then there's video games. But yeah, I mean, to this mom's point, like, what if we just didn't really care that much? And like, look, if you're doing everything else, is your brain really going to fry because you're watching an hour of cartoons?
Yeah.
Probably not.
Right. Yeah.
You know?
It is, it's interesting because I will say this. We have done stories here where the Academy of, you know, Pediatrics
yeah.
has, like, come out and been, like, screen time before the age of this, like, you know, we'll do this. You know, there's some negative consequence. But I don't know. I haven't found that to be the case yet. And honestly, life is so hard. Do we have to make everything so complicated?
Yeah. Well, I will say there are so many times where I'm like, this is like, for right now, this is the only option. Yeah. Like, it's like I turn on the TV or we don't eat dinner.
Right. Right.
Or like I don't get my work done and get fired.
Right.
Or I don't know. You know, like I sometimes it's just this is where we are.
Yes.
Like, I'm sorry. This is where we are.
Right.
And I really, to your point, I just don't know that like one show or one whatever is really going to like make or break them. But look, it might make or break me in that moment. So here we are.
I agree. This is the win section. You know, again, it's been just a couple of weeks in my life. You know what? One of my big wins has just been like all of the support that I've received, after my dad's passing, just like flowers, cards, people reaching out on social media. I'll tell you, like, I was like laughing with my family when I was home in Pennsylvania last week. Like, I had like ex-boyfriends from high school who are still live in my hometown messaging me and doing things for my stepmom, like in their yard, just do it, you know, people who I have literally not talked to in 20 plus years.
That's nice.
It's been so.
Was Brian getting a little jealous?
No, but he was like, it's so funny. He was like, I've never even heard of this person. And it's like, because this person who shall remain nameless, literally was my, you know, I dated him like my sophomore and junior year in high school. Like, I was like, because this, you have not heard of this person, because it was like not even a person to really tell a story about, you know? But it was people who lived near my dad and stepmom and, you know, had heard the news, seen the news. I grew up in such a small town. So I just, like, people were coming out of the woodwork and it was just.
It means so much.
It means so much. So that's my big win, is just the fact that, you know, so many people have been so kind to me over the past couple of weeks, and I really appreciate it.
And that is, you bring up a good point, that is one of the positives of social media.
Yes.
That you feel that love, even in little comments on Instagram or Facebook. Like, it just, it does, it's nice to have people say, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry, I'm here with you.
Right.
You know, it's something that we didn't have before social media.
Right.
Unless you, like, wrote a good old letter or something. I don't know. But it's nice to have that instant community support.
Yeah. Yeah. And so if you're listening to this, I can't imagine that my ex-boyfriend from high school is listening to this. But if you are.
But thank you.
I appreciate you. Yeah.
Oh, that's very nice. All right. Well, we will see you guys next time. We hope you have a wonderful week, and be contemplating the big swimsuit decision.
Is there like, could
we
be
circling
back?
Let's
call
this
like, is there like an acronym we can come up with here?
Yeah,
like the
swimsuit edition, SSE.
Oh, that makes sense. It's like sports, like the.
Oh, yeah, we're not Sports Illustrated. No.
Like the BS like conversation, but then that's also like not a good acronym. We'll come up with something.
Stay tuned for the actual advice.
How we're gonna brand it.
And the segment name.
Yes. Have a great week, guys. Bye. Anchor Moms is a Sinclair podcast produced out of WLOS in Asheville. We're your hosts, Katie Killen and Karen Zakalek. Anchor Moms is edited by Matthew Yates.
For more information on the topics discussed in this episode and to stay up to date on future episodes, follow us on Instagram at Anchor Moms.
You can follow Anchor Moms on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Know a parent who could benefit from this week's Anchor Moms episode? Your recommendations help our show to grow, so spread the word.